Last week, Jordan challenged us to a time of reflection. So during an intermission, which I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with, if you've ever been to a play in the past, movies used to have them as well, is that time between one act and the next. It's a time where you can reflect on what you've seen, heard, and experienced while you wait in anticipation of what's going to happen next. And that's where we currently are. We've taken this time to pause, to reflect on where we've been, where we're at, and where we're going, both individually and collectively as a church. For the past month and a half, we've been in the series entitled Role Reversal. We've been challenging the assumption that we're aligned with the good guys, that we're the hero. But in many cases, we align more often with the bad guy or the villain. Now, when we consider the antagonist or the villain, it brings to mind for me the widely debated question, are villains always born a villain or are they made into one? In reality, it is the classic nature versus nurture debate. Are particular aspects of our behavior a product of inherited, such as our genetics, or are they acquired, learned influences? We probably agree there is a combination of both. Now let's look a little deeper and look at a villain that's a pretty widely known, one of the iconic villains in popular culture. And I will say Franklin helped me with this analogy. However, I have seen all the Star Wars movies after he told me we were going to watch a Disney princess movie because Disney had just bought Star Wars. So I guess technically Leia is considered a Disney princess. I don't know. That's another thing that's up for widely debate. But anyways, let's take a look at Darth Vader. So Darth Vader, originally known as Anakin Skywalker, was prophesied to bring balance to the Force. However, he is lured to the dark side of the Force. Darth Vader was once a 9-year-old boy trained to be a Jedi by Obi-Wan to destroy the Sith. He was not born evil. However, he was known to display anger, reacting to situations with aggression and impulsivity, personality traits that made him vulnerable to fall into the dark side's trap. In addition, life circumstances, including losing his mother and the fear of losing his wife, made him even more vulnerable to be swayed to the dark side of the Force. And although the power of the dark side was strong, Darth Vader could have chosen to resist its pull towards evil. But he didn't. He made the choice that led him down the path of villainhood. As Obi-Wan said in episode 3, you were the chosen one. It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them. Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness. Darth Vader was chosen to be the hero, but instead he chose the path towards villainhood. Sometimes villains make choices that lead them down that path. Let's also consider the villains that we've been studying these past few weeks and the choices that they made that became their biggest downfalls. Goliath, he trusted in his own strength, believing he could win by just his sheer and might. Samson, he relied on the strength brought by his hair. David relied on his strength and wisdom in handling the situation with Bathsheba. The Israelites trusted the Babylonians when they were brought into exile. These are just a few of the examples from the sermon series we've been in, and I encourage you, if you've missed any of the past few weeks, to go back and listen to them. But we see a repeating pattern in each of these villains' lives. They chose to place their trust in the wrong places. Rather than putting their trust in God, in his power, his might, his strength, they relied on themselves, thinking they could become the heroes of their own stories. But this only led to their downfall. We're not that different from the villains of these biblical stories. We too are prone to misplace our trust, and choose to place our trust in the wrong things can also be our downfall. In many cases, we do it on almost a daily basis. Each day, we have the choice to place our trust in people or things such as our checkbooks, our spouses, our children, our employers, our jobs, our pastors, our those in leadership, the government, doctors, and even ourselves. And don't get me wrong, it is important that we build trusting relationships with one another. But ultimately, we have to put God above anyone and anything else. We have to place our trust in Him alone. The struggle to place trust in God alone is a constant struggle found throughout the scriptures. In the book of Jeremiah, where we find our scripture we'll be in soon, this morning, we read of Judah's lack of trust. Jeremiah, which is the longest book of the prophets, is the story of Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel. And it talks of their spiral into sin and rebellion and ultimately into exile. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God spoke a message to Judah, warning them of their wicked behavior and calling them to repent. But Judah was not receptive to the message of Jeremiah and continued to be deceived by false gods, false prophets, and false words. Judah believed they could save themselves by turning to false gods and foreign alliances for protection. And they turned their hearts from the Lord. Judah misplaced their trust. And this ultimately becomes their downfall when they're taken captive and sent into exile in Babylon. But through the prophet Jeremiah, God offers wisdom for not only the people of Judah, but also for us. Let's look at our scripture today in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. In this scripture, we see the contrast between those who trust in the Lord and those who trust in human resources. We see the difference between those who are cursed, those who live a life devoid of God's blessing, and those who are blessed, those who experience the positive blessings of trusting in the Lord. Those who put their trust in humans are like stunted shrubs in the desert, while those who put their trust in the Lord are like a tree planted along a riverbank. A shrub in a desert and a flourishing tree along a riverbank are a pretty stark contrast. The first image we are given is that of a stunted shrub in the desert, bearing no fruit with no permanent source of nourishment. So I want you to picture for a moment a desert scene, and I did provide one for those of us that don't have an imagination this early on a rainy Sunday morning, but picture this desert scene. Picture a sparse piece of land with very little precipitation, where living conditions are harsh and hostile for both plant and animal life. Now picture, or look at the screen, at a lonely stunted shrub. This, I'll go back. We're still on the shrub. So this is the setting being depicted in verse 6. In the CSB, we read of the shrub being a juniper in the Araba. Now, the Araba is an area that is dry and parched. It's a 110-mile stretch desert climate with very little rain. The ground is mainly sand and gravel, and the only plants that grow there are shrubs that require very little water. This is a place where the juniper bush shrivels in the scorching sun. It's a place of very little hope. The shrub has very little resources to keep itself alive, and slowly it will perish. And the person who puts their trust in people versus God are likened to this stunted shrub. They are to be cursed, and they will not experience God's blessings because they have chosen the path of relying on and placing their trust in human beings. Just a second. Lost my spot now. All right, now we're ready for the tree. So the tree provides a sharp contrast to the stunted shrub. Now, when I picture this flourishing tree, the image that comes to my mind is the tree of life at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Now, spoiler alert, it is not actually a real tree, which was actually a surprise to me, even though I went to Disney like 10 years ago. But I guess like the whole experience, just everything seems real and lifelike. But Tree of Life is not actually real at Disney. It is a 145-foot sculpture designed with over 325 animals in its intricate framework. Nestled amidst the burrowing roots at the base of the Tree of Life is a serene landscape of pools, meadows, and trees with live animals such as otters, flamingos, and other critters. Being that the weather in Central Florida is not always ideal, sculptors had to design a tree that could withstand up to hurricane force winds. The over 102,000 man-made leaves, each over a foot in length, were designed to move in the wind just like the leaves on a living tree would. The tree itself is built from an upside-down oil rig with a cement base, making it able to withstand anything. So putting aside the fact that this tree is not real, the tree of life, that it's artificial, this is in essence what it looks like to trust in the Lord, to be deeply rooted, unmovable, regardless of the conditions around them. Those who trust in the Lord are like a well-placed tree whose stability allows it to live and bear fruit. Its deep rootedness in the proper ground allows the tree to withstand the drought and always bear fruit. So now that we've looked at the stark contrast between the shrub and the tree, let's consider what makes them the same, besides obviously that they are both plants. Can there be any other similarities between a stunted shrub and a flourishing tree? Well, both the stunted shrub and the tree experience the harsh elements. The shrub living in the dry, barren desert, and the tree experiencing the heat and drought. The shrub, though, cannot withstand these conditions. It lacks deep roots. And under the harsh conditions of the desert, the shrub will blow away and shrivel up because it has nothing to sustain it. Those who trust in human resources are like a piece of dry shrub in the desert, bearing no fruit due to a lack of nourishment. Henry Nouwen, in his book, Following Jesus, considers this to be rootless behavior. He writes, "Fear not only makes us grab for the safe places, it also makes us just splash around. There are people who get so panicky and so afraid of doing routine things that they just go all over the place. They lose their roots." We are having technical difficulties this morning too. So it is not our computer guy. It is actually the computer. All right, we'll just go off from what I have here. So, all right, we'll restart the quote. So, fear not only makes us grab for the safe places, it also makes us just splash around. There are people who get so panicky and afraid of doing routine things that they go all over the place. They lose their roots. They pull up their anchors. They are just wandering wild and they don't know what to do. It is like their fear has become so big that they don't know one day to the next what they are doing. This unstable behavior is common when you lack stability. When everything around you is unstable, you too become unstable because you have nothing to attach to. As the Message paraphrase puts it, he is like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. Jeremiah 17:6. And more often than not, I think this is where we tend to find ourselves. When circumstances are less than optimal, when things start to spiral out of control, we reach and we grasp for anything in our reach, only to find that we have nothing to hold on to. What we had rooted ourselves in doesn't hold, and we're just a tumbleweed on the prairie. So in a moment of complete vulnerability, this is honestly the place that I found myself a few weeks ago at 3:30 in the morning, because circumstances were out of my control. Once I thought the things that I thought were certain weren't so certain anymore, and I felt like a dry piece of shrub in the desert with nothing to hold on to. My fears were not just for myself, but also for Franklin and Mai's little girl due in February. If you're a parent, I think you can understand the desire to provide stability for your children. But I had to learn a lesson that I'm sure I'll have to learn over and over again. I can't provide stability for my baby girl. Life is going to happen, and I can't control it. But what I can offer her and myself is a faith that is real, a faith that can trust regardless of life circumstances. And whether or not you're a parent, we all have someone watching us, and we can't promise them stability, but we can show them hope and how to remain stable in an unstable world. And that is when God brought this passage from Jeremiah to mind, because he reminded me that amidst the circumstances I found myself in, I could choose to place my trust, my hope, and my confidence in him. It would not change my circumstances. They weren't going to magically disappear, but it would allow me to remain steady and strong as my stability became rooted in him. Because those who trust in the Lord are like a tree that is planted beside the stream. It sinks its roots deep, becoming richly fertile regardless of the elements. The tree survives and remains richly fertile regardless of the elements because it is planted by the water. It does not depend on something as circumstantial as rain. It is really important for us to note that the tree does still experience hardship and suffering, just as the shrub does. It is still exposed to the harsh realities of heat and drought. The hard circumstances still come. All too often, we think that faith and trust in God will exempt us from the harsh elements of life. That if we just have enough faith, that we won't experience life's hardships and sorrows. But that just isn't true. Placing our trust in God does not exempt us from life's trials, but it does allow us to thrive within those trials. If we look back at verse 8, we read in the CSB version, "It doesn't fear when heat comes." Notice it doesn't use the word if, but rather when. The heat will come. Jesus also reminds his disciples of this when, not if situation, as he was preparing the disciples for his crucifixion. We read in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." We don't often recognize this verse as one of God's promises to us, but Jesus tells us that we will have suffering in this world. That's not a "you might," "you may," or "you could." It's "you will." Jesus guarantees that we will suffer. But it is in the same verse that Jesus tells us how to handle the difficulties, the sufferings, the seasons of drought, to take heart because he has overcome the world. Take heart. Now, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines this idiom, "take heart," as to gain courage, or confidence, to begin to feel better and more hopeful. So if we look back at our scripture in Jeremiah, when the trouble comes, when the heat and the drought come, we take heart by trusting in the Lord, making him our hope and our confidence. When we are deeply rooted in him, we will not only survive, but we will thrive through all of life circumstances. We would typically expect a tree to wither and die under the oppression of the heat and drought. But yet, this tree's leaves remain green, and they never stop producing fruit, because this tree is deeply rooted and connected to the source of living water. By being deeply rooted in the proper ground, the tree is able to withstand drought, and it always bears fruit. As Henry Nouwen reminds us, Jesus says, "Have a sense of confidence, remain rooted, remain connected, remain in love." So this trust that we've been looking at, what it looks like to be this tree, requires making the choice to be firmly planted. As Marcy read for us earlier, we choose life. We choose the path of trust by loving the Lord our God, obeying him, and committing ourselves firmly to him. Corrie ten Boom, a woman whose faith was so deeply rooted, once said, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and you trust the engineer." Corrie ten Boom exemplified this trust as she experienced the unimaginable. During World War II, Corrie and her family risked their lives by hiding Jews in their home until one day they were caught and taken to prison. From prison, Corrie and her sister Betsy were taken to a concentration camp in Germany. Things could not get much darker than being in a concentration camp. But Corrie did not let these circumstances erode her trust, as her hope and confidence were deeply rooted in the Lord. While at the concentration camp, Corrie and her sister spent their time sharing Jesus's love with their fellow prisoners, and many women came to know the Lord. Corrie's sister Betsy died while at the concentration camp, but Corrie miraculously survived. She went on to travel the world to tell everyone about God's love. Even in the season of drought, Corrie ten Boom never stopped producing fruit because she chose to place her trust in the Lord. Her life and her faith reminds us that when we trust in God, we have a resource for sustaining our lives under any circumstance. This trust is also found in the passage that we looked at last week in Matthew 14, if you want to turn there. So a little synopsis for those that weren't here, kind of to catch you up where we were at. The disciples were headed to the other side of the lake when a storm arose and the winds and the waves were against them. Meanwhile, they see someone coming towards them. Immediately, they think it's a ghost and they're terrified. But it was actually Jesus. So picking up in verse 27. "But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage. I am here.' Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over to the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?'" Peter displayed unwavering trust in Jesus as he stepped out onto the boat. His faith was in Jesus and his confidence was deeply rooted in him. However, as soon as he saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid and realized that what he was doing wasn't normal. Humans are not supposed to walk on water. He began to rely on his own strength and recognize that he shouldn't be doing this. However, had Peter just kept his trust in Jesus, he would not have been bothered by the wind and the waves, but rather he would have remained stable in an unstable situation. We too can withstand the wind and the waves when we remain connected, when we keep our eyes on Jesus. So I think this all begs the question, what does this look like for us? I think we all want to be that tree, strong and rooted in our faith, bearing fruit in all seasons. But how do we get there? Well, the first step we have to take is we have to choose to place our trust in God. We have to make Him our hope and our confidence. We have to recognize that we serve a God who can be trusted. He is always faithful. He has never failed. In her book, Holier Than Thou, Jackie Hill Perry poses the question, if God is holy, then He can't sin. If God can't sin, then He can't sin against me. If He can't sin against me, shouldn't that make Him the most trustworthy being there is? God is so completely good that He can be trusted. We're to place our trust in God because He's the only one who can always be trusted 100% of the time. There is never a moment that He can't be. As I mentioned earlier, it is good that we build trusting relationships with one another, but ultimately, we're human and we're going to fail each other. We fail one another. It's in our human nature. It's in our sinful nature to do so, which is not an excuse, but it is reality. But as we sang earlier and do it again, this is my confidence. You have never failed me yet. God has never failed us, and He never will. In Deuteronomy 31:6, we read, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." This promise made to Joshua as the Israelites were about to enter the promised land is still a promise to us today. God will not fail us. We have a God who can be trusted. And when we choose to trust Him, we are like that tree planted alongside the riverbank. So after making this decision to trust Him, we have to choose to stay connected by growing deep roots. The roots of a tree never stop growing. As long as a tree is alive, the roots keep growing, as does the tree. So once we've placed our trust in God, we must choose to continue to grow. We do this by spending time with God, reading His word, spending time in prayer, listening to God, worshiping Him, spending time in community, and living our lives with God. When we do this, we become like the tree that is not bothered by the heat or seasons of drought. We never stop producing fruit. It becomes our benefit to remain deeply rooted in God because we remain fruitful in all seasons and in all circumstances. In the words of Henry Nouwen, when we are securely rooted in personal intimacy with the source of life, it will be possible to remain flexible without being relativistic, convinced without being rigid, willing to confront without being offensive, gentle and forgiving without being soft, and true witnesses without being manipulative. When we are securely rooted, we develop the fruit of the Spirit that Paul writes of in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These fruits are not of our own doing, but they come out of our lives because we walk with Jesus, because we trust the Lord. Our reactions and our interactions become a reflection of where we are connected. So where are you rooted? Where have you planted your trust? If our trust is misplaced and not deeply rooted, we will be no different than the stunted shrub in the desert. We will live with no hope. But if our trust is deeply rooted and connected to the one who can be trusted, we can thrive regardless of our circumstances. We will not be bothered by the heat or the drought, and we will never stop producing fruit. I'm going to welcome the worship team back up at this time as we close. And as we close today, I invite you to consider, where are you rooted? Where have you placed your trust? Some of us may find ourselves in the desert. We might be that stunted shrub, misplacing our trust in all the wrong things. But for those of us that are there, we can find encouragement in knowing that when we redirect our trust, when we place it in the Lord, we are planted. Or as the literal translation has it, we are transplanted to a place along the riverbank where we can grow deep roots that can withstand the elements and remain fruitful. When we trust in the Lord, He takes us out of our desolate places and transplants us into places of abundance. And for those of us who do already find ourselves along the riverbank, I encourage you to keep trusting, to keep making the Lord your hope and your confidence. And may you look for the fruit that comes from that. We'll be closing this morning with the song, Build Your Life. And as you consider this morning where you're at, may we sing the bridge of this song as a declaration of where we are going to place our trust. Because when we place our trust in God alone, we will not be shaken. We will not be bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. We will not only survive, but we will thrive. God is inviting us this morning to place our trust in Him.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like. Fill me with your heart and lead me.
As we close this morning, I want to share a passage from Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, in Paul's letter to the Colossians in the church of Colossae. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow deep down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are a God who can be trusted. You've never failed us, God, and you never will. Forgive us for those moments that we forget that. We are so prone to misplace our trust in the things that we can see, the things that are right in front of us, God. But may we always be reminded of your faithfulness, Lord, the source of living water that you provide for us when we are planted by the stream, Lord. I pray that you would take us out of our desolate places, Lord, and that you would transplant us by the water. Just thank you, God, for who you are. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.